Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Thank you so much, Pastor Hanson. Such an honor and delight to be with you. And we love them very, very dearly. Really, you know, you have friends that are like family. And that's the way we feel for your pastor and his wonderful family. We love them. And it certainly is an honor to be here with you today. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 15, verse number 13. Romans 15, 13. What a beautiful, beautiful amount of weather we've had around here. We flew in late Thursday night, and man, it's been like paradise, you know. And it's amazing to me. We lived in Orlando for 12 years, and you live in these places like paradise, and yet, you know, there are challenges everywhere. Amen? I mean, the grass is only greener on the other side of the fence because they've got a septic tank underneath it. Always remember, there's challenges everywhere. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. There's a big gap between having a God of hope and abounding in hope. But how do you abound in hope? Well, it's through the power of the Holy Ghost. Would you bow your heads? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the power of your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, for what you've given, what you've done in our midst. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to every heart and every life. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated today. Hope. What is this word called hope? We use it in so many different contexts. In fact, we, you know, some would say, I hope the weather stays nice the rest of the week. I've always been a little frustrated because you have a weatherman who makes a lot of money every year and he only is right a fraction of the time. I wish I could have a job like that. And yet, we use the word hope. I mean, for example, today, it's a Sunday during football season. No doubt there are people that are saying, I hope my team wins. Now, there are some that have more hope than others. And yet, I hope all of these things. I mean, we can even have the expression, some of you have said, I hope my child cleans their room this week. Good luck with that. I remember when my son, who's now 17, when he first got the Holy Ghost, he was 6 years old, and we were wanting to make sure he'd receive the Holy Ghost that day. And of course, on the way home, we're kind of drilling him. Did you speak in other tongues? The Spirit of God give the utterance? Yeah. You know, and of course, again, we weren't right there at that moment. We want to make sure, you know, then we got home and he disappeared, and then we wondered where he was. And after a while, we went looking for him, and he was in his room cleaning his room. I said, there is no doubt in my mind he got the Holy Ghost. The word hope. It was early one morning, Heidi, 15, her boyfriend, Christopher, 16, decided that life was not worth living. It was down a short hike, down a rugged path overlooking the Pacific Ocean near L.A. to an area known locally as the diving board. They ducked between a chain link fence, and there before dawn they jumped to their death, a jogger finding them later that afternoon. It was 2 months later, just a few short miles down the road there in the coast of California, when 14-year-old Amber and 15-year-old Alicia, they decided that they had had enough, and they tied their arms together and they jumped off a cliff to their death. Friends, saying that we knew they were dealing with addictions. We knew they were dealing with struggles, but yet we had hoped it was getting better. One of their friends said, life just stinks. In fact, they said, a lot of us don't know if it's ever going to get better. A study from Princeton University documented a dramatic increase in the mortality rate among middle age. In fact, they noted that for years the mortality rate had been decreasing, and then all of a sudden it began to shift and began to rise over the last few years. And there was a study done at Princeton University, and one of the professors, after looking at all the data, saying, yes, it is true that there is an increase in the mortality rate, and it's not because of natural causes. In fact, it's because more and more middle age and more people are involving themselves with addictions and overdoses and suicides. And this particular professor ended their study by saying, what we are experiencing in North America is an epidemic of hopelessness. An epidemic of hopelessness. Hopeless, despair, despondent, all describe this word, this absence of this word called hope. When you no longer have hope, it's give up time, if you will. Jeremiah 8:12 said there is no hope. We will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Job said, my days in Job 7:6 are spent as a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Even Paul spoke to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12. He said this, that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, and having no hope without God in the world. This word called hope, it's used so much in our English language, but yet, if you must understand, there is in our language sometime difficulty because, you know, people say, why don't you know another language? I've always said, well, I have a hard enough time with the one I have. And yet we take words, even in our own language, and we hijack them to mean something else. And it's hard sometimes to realize what we really mean. For example, the word dead. Now, to one generation, dead means dead. Call the mortician. It's over. Life's done. When I was a teen, we used the word dead, not in that context, but we would simply say things like, I'm dead. Well, nobody was running panicked. It just simply meant I was tired. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But now this new generation, they got to take it to a whole nother level. Because you can be texting your teenager and all of a sudden the response be, I'm dead. And panic ensues. Oh my goodness. Oh wait, no, it's okay because they responded. They actually said something. What on earth do they mean? It means I'm dying laughing. Oh, great. We got one generation dead just as dead. Next generation is tired. Now they've escalated. Boy, they're just laughing about it all. Well, how in the world am I supposed to know what anything means? And yet, could it be that a word that we use so frequently in our language, a word called hope, has now been relegated to nothing more than a simple chance or a maybe? And so that when I begin to read the Word of God and it begins to talk about something that is aloof and far-fetching, that is something I never really can attain because it's merely a maybe or a chance. And if I really get lucky, I might get this, what they're talking about, because it's merely a chance or an opportunity. But could it be that as we read the Word, every time we get to a word called hope, we need to reference in our minds something different? Could it be that God was meaning something far different than what the English language and the limitations thereof bring to us? Could it be that simply where we're relegating something to a maybe, God has put a period and a certainty? Could it be that there is a glimmer of hope that slowly begins to break through the horizon, that brings signifying closing of the night and the dawn of the new day? Hope is calling. Hope is coming to the conclusion that there is a certainty involved. Oh, the Colossians 1:22, he said, if you this, or 1:23, he said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and be settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, moved away from the maybe of the gospel. If it's merely maybe, we're in trouble. But he said, you not be moved away from, I believe, the certainty of the gospel which you've heard and which was preached to every creature under heaven, where I, Paul, am made minister. Even in the Ephesians, Paul said in 1:18, he said, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling. The certainty of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. I'm here today to tell somebody in the house, you may have come here with a voice of uncertainty. It may seem like you're not really sure if God is capable, God is willing, God is able. But I'm here today to tell somebody in the house that certainty stepped in the room, that whatever you need from God, he is more than able and more than willing to perform. And when I've lived for God all these years, I'm thankful that God filled me with the Holy Ghost over 40 something years ago. I am thankful for what God has done and what God has given, but it's given me a life lesson to understand. As I look through the past, as I look to the future, I know assuredly that what God said, he will perform. What God promised, he will do. Oh, I've got a voice for somebody to give you a clear understanding that there is a hope of a certainty. There is a hope of transformation in power. I got a dear friend of mine, Brother David Bounds, Parkersburg, West Virginia, pastor, great man of God, and going to his church is always, it always is somewhat fun. He's, you know, we'll be in the service and there's people just going crazy everywhere, responding to the presence of God. And many times he'll look over and say, hey, see that guy over there? Yeah. Oh man, this is so cool what God's doing in his life. And so I'm getting like a rundown of all kinds of stuff. One time I was there, he said, see that guy over there? I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, I met him behind the church some time ago. He said, I invited him to church and he came. He repented of his sins. God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He spoke in a language he didn't know. He has been redeemed. His life has been changed. He said, you see who I'm talking about? See that guy? I said, the guy with, yeah. He said, yeah. I mean, the guy had a Buddha tattoo on the majority of his neck and half his face. And he looked pretty rough. And he said to me, he said, you know, he said, let me tell you about this. He said, you know, Justin, he said, was, at the time he was 34 years old, but he said he had already spent 15 years in prison. But he said, when Justin received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, there was such a powerful transformation in his life. For you see, Justin's dad had been murdered when he was 12 years old. But when he got the Holy Ghost, he told his pastor, Brother David Bounds, he said, I don't know why, but I'm feeling like I need to go find the guy who killed my dad and forgive him face to face. Justin did that. In fact, Justin, after receiving the Holy Ghost, called his grandmother and he told his grandma, Grandma, I got the Holy Ghost. Grandma, you'll never guess what happened to me. I spoke in other tongues. Grandma, I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Grandma, if you will, I left it in the water. Grandma, something great happened to me. It got quiet on the phone. Grandma, you there? Grandma? Are you there?
After a few moments, she came back on the phone. She said, "Justin, I'm sorry I had to step away from the phone a moment and rejoice in what the Lord has done." She said, "What you don't know is this. I am an apostolic Pentecostal, and I've been praying for you, son, all your life that God would reveal to what you've gotten. Justin, this thing's going to change everything about your life." Can I tell you that Justin is now a licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church? He's an assistant pastor. Justin owns a business. God has blessed his life abundantly. I'm here today to tell somebody, you may have come here bound by addictions, bound by the understanding you will never be. But can I tell you, there is a hope, not just a mere chance or a maybe, but there is a certainty of the gospel. God said, "If you will do this, I will do what I said I would do." It doesn't matter what the enemy has addicted you to. It doesn't matter how long it's been. I'm here today to tell you there is a certainty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the enemy is after our souls. The enemy is after. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. In fact, Phil, Brother Bound said, "Hey, see that guy over there? I said, I can't miss him. He's 7 feet tall." He said, "Yeah, Phil, one night," he said, "before church, down the street from the church, someone OD'd." And he said, "They were able to get there, apparently." He said, "We heard in the church that someone had OD'd. We had prayer for them in the building." And he said, "After church started, all of a sudden, a big commotion, sometime later, came through the back doors, burst through the doors, walked up to the front." He said, "And there was this big 7-foot-tall guy in the middle of this group of people." He said, "We found out later that it was Phil. Phil had been down the street. Phil had OD'd. Phil really was considered just about dead, and the ambulance got there in time. They gave him a shot. He was revived, and then they were taking him to the hospital, and Phil woke up and said, 'No, I don't want to go to the hospital. I've been walking by a church for the last several weeks, and I feel something there. Need to make my way to it.'" Phil burst in the middle of a service, and he came down to the altar and began to repent of his sins, and Phil received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Phil told me with his own mouth, he said this, he said, "What AA and Heroin Anonymous could not do, God did for me in one service." I don't care what the enemy tries to tell you. I don't care that the enemy tries to tell you it's impossible. You need to understand that the word of God is not a maybe. The word of God is a voice of certainty. Phil is now a manager of a local restaurant. God has blessed his life and transformed him. I'm here today to tell somebody there is a hope in transformation. But also there is a hope of strength in trials. We are going to go through some things. Paul told the Roman church in Romans 5, 1 through 5, he said this. He said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." But again, are we talking about something that might happen? No, there's a certainty there. He said, "Not only also, but we glory in tribulation also." Oh, well, that's where some of us jump off the boat. Yeah, I don't think I want that. Well, then quit trying to pray for patience, because please don't ever do that. Because the way God will give you patience is junk starts happening in a miraculous fashion and way. I said, "Well, you wanted patience. Well, how do you get patience?" Well, that's what the word says. He said, "We glory in tribulation also, knowing that what? Tribulation worketh patience." Now, this isn't the great tribulation. This is just stuff happening in your life. He said, "But tribulation worketh patience." But he said, "Here's something else." And he said, "This patience it brings about something called experience. Because I've been through some things. I've had to go through some trials and wait on God to show up. It has taught me something. Now I have experience. And because I have experience, oh, what does that bring about? Well, that just brings about something called hope. That's what he said. He said, not only also, but the glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Why? Because I know I have been through some things, but yet in the midst of all of those things, repeatedly God has proved to me that there is something called certainty at the end. That God will never leave me nor forsake me. He will be always with me even to the end of the world. He said, because hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In other words, there is a voice of certainty in the midst of my trials. That because I've gone through some things, it just gave me a sense. Oh, David, when he walked to get the stones to face Goliath, there was a certainty and a confidence that said, I've been through some things. I saw a lion one day and a bear came upon me one day, but I know assuredly that what God promised. You see, not only do we have a certainty when it comes to deliverance and power, that we have a certainty of strength and trials, we also have a certainty of what God promised He will perform. Romans 4:18, he said this, who against hope believed in hope. Against certainty, believed in certainty. That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, he wasn't looking at the circumstance around him. It really didn't matter. For you see, when you look at the understanding that there is something called hope at the end, whenever you go from the beginning to the end and you kind of skip the middle stuff. I don't really care about all the circumstance, because against the circumstance, there is a certainty. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. And yet the Bible said in verse number 20, he said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God promised, he would also perform. Amen. So what God said, he will do. But you see, we're so relegated to the human understanding and our English language to somebody has hijacked hope now to mean something that just simply is a maybe. But don't you wish you could hope your team wins and they always do? Well, that'd be a good thing. Problem is, it costs a whole lot of money to make sure that team always wins. And I've learned enough already that it doesn't matter how much you spend, there's got to be team spirit there too. So, you know, anyway, we'll go on from there. Because there is no certainty in major league sports. There is no certainty unless you punish and, you know, threaten. And anyway, we'll just go on from there to make sure your kid cleans their room all the time. No, that's probably relegated to the maybe category. But yet, there is a voice of certainty of what God promised. But not only that, there is a hope of something called eternal life. You know, we live way too much in the now. Let's be honest, COVID revealed one thing to us all, and that was that we need to think more about heaven and less about here. I marveled that people were afraid of COVID. You say, oh, well, No, I had close friends that passed away. I had family members that passed away. I myself was in the hospital for 5 days. But yet in the midst of it all, recognizing, Paul kept saying this, and I'll never forget as I was rolled out of the room there that day and out of my house, I remember the scripture repeatedly going over me in my mind. He said, Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm going to win either way. My hope is not in this world. Friend, you may be looking for an election change. You may be looking for this, that, or the other. But can I tell you, there is no hope in this world. There is no certainty in this world. Oh, the truth of the matter is, I can just tell you right now, you can move clear across to the country and think there's some great thing there, and it's going to get you out of all the chaos. That chaos is just going to follow you there, because in this world there is no hope. But yet when I begin to understand and turn my eyes to something that is bigger and better and marvelous, there is a certainty of the hope of God's calling. And it's not just in this life, it's the hope of heaven. That's why the early church repeatedly would say, oh, the early church repeatedly would say, Maranatha, our Lord come. Why? Because they were about that to whom God would make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. He said, in hope of eternal life, Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, you said, well, is this, are you really, I mean, you're saying certain. Is that really certain? Well, he pretty much closes the discussion on that right here. He said, in hope of eternal life. In certainty. Now you say, are you preaching once saved, always saved? Absolutely not. You can take yourself out of the hand and the mercy of God through your doing. But if we will obey his word, there is a stamp of certainty that God puts on the equation that says, in hope, in certainty of eternal life, he said, I'm going to close it once and for all, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That sounds like a little bit of certainty to me. Titus 2:13, he said, looking for that blessed hope, that blessed certainty, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which was laid up for me in heaven, where have you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel? It's a certainty of heaven.
Yes, it is.
But you know, here's the thing. We have a hard time getting the message across to ourselves. Let's be honest. There's nothing more frustrating. I love technology. But there's times when you plug in the projector to the computer and I'm pushing send and the dreaded no signal shows up on the screen. Are you kidding me? No signal. It's just the time that you want to take that wonderful, precious technology and go dump it in the garbage. Because there's no signal. It's not a new thing. No, it's not a new thing at all. In fact, the apostles, they experienced it. Jesus was walking with them, performing miracle after miracle, continually saying, do you know who I am? Oh yeah, we do. No, you don't. In fact, Mary and Martha send Jesus a message. Jesus, your friend Lazarus, he's dying. You better come quick. His disciples are around him and he just simply says, yeah, this isn't unto death. Oh, good. Thank God. Good. That means we're not going. Because last time we were there, they wanted to kill him. And since we're with him, they'll kill us too. And Jesus, then he says, he sleeps. Well, Lord, if he sleeps, then we don't really, he must have had some you know, chicken soup, and he's good to go. And, you know, and why should we want to go there? And Jesus said, no, we're going. Well, Lord, you said he's asleep. He's okay. And Jesus said, but we're still going. Okay, then we'll go die with you. Oh, that's such a marvelous thing. And then Jesus gets there. Finally, you know, finally Jesus just says, he's dead. And it's for your sakes he's dead. Wow. Well, thanks. What did I do about it? Because you're so full of unbelief. You can't really understand who I am. You haven't figured this out yet?
Yeah.
And then he gets there. And he comes across Mary and Martha, and here's old Martha. Lord, if you'd just been here, you'd have been okay. Because we know you can heal him, but we know you can't raise him. Because that's really what she was saying. In other words, Lord, I have no hope in you. There's no certainty involved in this equation. And then Jesus looks at her and says, you know, your brother's going to rise again. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they're not quite there yet? They haven't caught up yet. And here it is. The frustration of Jesus at that moment. I mean, Mary, Martha is really trying to catch up. She's like, oh, Lord, I know. I mean, you know, here all of a sudden, super spiritual gear kicks in, you know. Yeah. I know, Lord, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, he's going to raise again. It is a wonder that God had the patience to say to them, roll the stone away. Because if I was God, I don't think I would have waited for that. In fact, whenever... It even goes up another level. Lord, you don't want to roll the stone away. He stinks.
Yeah.
It's a wonder that stone wasn't sent into orbit and continue to orbit even to this day. Astronauts flying by going, what's that? Oh, that's when God got mad, you know. Remember that, you know. But he had the patience. Would you just roll the stone away? You mean you haven't really figured out who I am yet? Oh, I love it. If you've ever been to Israel, you'll go and you see there on the Eastern Gate where the Bible talks about him coming through the Eastern Gate one day. And of course, you know, and then of course that area, you've seen that many, many years ago whenever the city of Jerusalem was taken over by one group. I'm not going to reference who that is, but you can study it and figure it out. But a particular group took over and they wanted to make sure that the Messiah could never come through the gate, so they plugged up the gate. They bricked it up. Oh yeah, that's really going to stop him. And because they know that Jews cannot touch a dead thing, they actually made a graveyard around the bottom of it. Well, we're going to keep him out. Are you kidding me? You don't know who he is. He can't touch any dead thing, because the truth is, he is the resurrection and the life. And when he shows up, dead things live again. You're not going to stop him. You're not going to keep him out. Mary, Martha, all of you around, even the disciples that have no clue, what you didn't understand was this, that while you were walking through life, somebody walked into your equation, and somebody is about to begin to call for something called hope. And when certainty begins to call your name, Lazarus sitting in a tomb, unable to breathe, live, and life not in him, but all of a sudden the voice of hope reaches into the eternal tomb and says, well, wait a minute. I know there's a lot of Lazarus in there, but I'm going to go to the specific one. Lazarus, come forth. And why is it that all of a sudden eyeballs pop open?
Yeah, right.
grave clothes around him visibly, perfectly impossible for him to move or breathe. But the supernatural voice of hope reaches into the uncertain world that they lived and begins to call the name of Lazarus. And at that moment, Lazarus, he just stands up. He can't see. He can't breathe. He shouldn't be able to, but the breath of life is in him. Why? Because hope came calling. I'm here today to tell somebody, you may be in the midst of the darkest moments of your life. You may have been convinced by the enemy that there is no certainty around you, but can I tell you, you're in the right room, in the right place, because when you stepped in the room, hope began to call your name. Hope began to call upon you. It's not a voice of uncertainty. It's a voice of certainty. Would you stand with me today? It's not merely a chance or a maybe. Oh, I know it's a fearful thing. You say, but how? Why? Why would a God, an all-knowing, all-seeing, perfect God, care about me? But you see, that is his plan all along. Never has our world been so uncertain. Never has it been so frightening. All extremes, but folks, it's all everywhere. Yeah. And you just, even on the way to church today, we're talking, my wife has a brother-in-law that works for a government institution. And there's a big bust this just the last couple of days. And the pills of fentanyl that could kill 1.2 million people, I believe they said, were just confiscated in the last 2 days. And they look like candy. You don't think there's any correlation to the fact that Halloween's on its way? 108,000 kids have died this year alone to fentanyl. There's an uncertain world that we're in. Reaching into the rural communities, reaching in. I mean, even in our own neighborhood, 2 kids in our own school district has actually died this year of fentanyl. That's a voice of uncertainty. It's a fearful world that we live in. Governments talking about nuking things. Folks, if your hope is in this world, you're in trouble. Suicide rampant. Why? Because we're in an epidemic of hopelessness. Stock market uncertain. Man, my 403B is an epitome of reverse process this year. In other words, it's going the wrong way. I can retire when I'm 108 now. Well, that money I saved last year to put in, it's already gone. Poof. But wait a minute. My hope is not in this world. There is no certainty here. Oh, I hope it gets better. Really? No, that's an uncertain hope. But can I tell you that today there is a voice calling your name? It's when hope, certainty, moves into the room and says, I know where you are, but guess what? I'm here to bring a certain future, a hope of eternal life, not just merely a chance, but a certainty of what I promised. I'm opening these altars up for you. Anybody, I think we all should just make our way and say, God, here, I want to listen to the voice of certainty in my life. I want to move aside all the uncertainty that surrounds me, God, and I just want to step in and know that there is a voice of hope calling my name. Yes, 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 yes. Let certainty walk in the room. Let the voice of certainty move.
Come on, that's it. All you need is to come down to this altar and give your life to God. Give your trials to God. Give your uncertainty to God. He is here. He said, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. I know right where you're at. I know everything about you. And in an uncertain world, I want to bring a voice of certainty to you.